Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Premier League preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller and Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Oh, I'm giddy with excitement, chaps.
Whether you're not.
It sounds like he is, Jim, in my opinion.
It's unnerving when you're here.
It's nearly the weekend and it's nearly football time.
Nearly football o'clock.
Absolutely. Jim, you must be excited. Arsenal are playing Spurs.
Excited, terrified, all the things that go into the North London derby.
We'll gloss over the Bayern Munich game.
Well, you may want to gloss over this one.
Bayern Munich glossed over it.
Yeah,
right?
No, I'm saying Jim and I will gloss over it, but Luke, what would you like to say?
I've got a question. Jim, obviously it's a huge game for Arsenal Spurs and it's nerve-wracking and all that other stuff. We all know as football fans what it's like to be dreading a derby just because it's a derby. But would you be more relaxed about it if this result against Bayern in midweek hadn't happened?
Genuinely, I don't think it's going to have an effect. I really, really don't, because Arsenal's form in the Premier League has been very different to their form in Europe. And also, if you look at the form of both teams in the Premier League, it's pretty similar. You know, both have been strong, winning a lot. Spurs haven't lost since the opening day. They're in really good form. Yeah. Sort of quite underrated good form, really.
Yeah,
but we've all seen, in particularly that game, form just goes absolutely out the window. When it gets to it, the pressure on all of those players and the desire from all of those players on both teams to just get one over on your rivals is so, so massive. It's like a cup, isn't it? It's like the bragging rights cup.
I think the reason I asked that is because clearly Arsenal have a decent record at home to Spurs. I mean, I think, is it right that they've won 13 of the last 18 against Spurs in the Premier League? I think 13 of the last 18 at the Emirates, I think. But Spurs have got a terrible record away at Arsenal for sure. Anyway, that goes without saying. So, but, and there is a big but here.
Arsenal, you cannot lie.
Yeah, you like big bats, of course. Yeah.
Arsenal have got a lot of injuries, Jim. You're not smiling when you think of the injuries they've got.
No, I'm not.
And the reason I say that is because Spurs are out 17-4 to win this game against Arsenal. And with a £10 stake with Bet365, that's a £52.50 return. Is it the time for people to be thinking, do you know what? The time is always going to come at some point. Is this the time that Spurs get a result?
Well, certainly, you can look at areas of the team where you think Spurs will be able to exploit that. Laurent Koscielny looks like he's not going to make the game. Gabriel is a pretty similar player and has, you know, established a fairly decent partnership with Mertesacker. They both had a bit of a nightmare against Bayern, but again, I don't think it's really relevant. But for me, the worries Matthew Debuchy, Demighty Bush, because he's not been particularly solid for us when he's played. He's not played a lot. He looks rusty, like he doesn't really know where he fits in the team, which is perfectly understandable. But he just looks functional, whereas Bellerin gives us a very good attacking outlet. So that it blunts us at the back and going forward as well. So I imagine Spurs will try and exploit that.
But Debuchy is a magnificent looking man. He has fantastic hair.
I think Jim was
Spurs. Okay. That's also true.
Okay.
Do you think though this is because he's just been injured and he's finding his way back? Or do you think it's more of a more general decline in his form and his ability?
Well, I think he's been very unlucky in that he got a bad injury from some a horrible push from Arnautovic, I think it was, that put him out of the team after he'd already been out when he first arrived. He had two big periods out. Bellerin established himself in that time and he's just not been able to get back in. So it's, you know, he spent a lot of time not playing football and has had two injuries, which, I mean, I think he's 30 now, so those things affect you more as you get older. So I think it's a combination of both of those things, to be honest.
And Spurs, and the Spurs thing, Marcus, is that, like, clearly they started off slowly. They scored five in their first six or something, and now they're really hitting their straps, aren't they?
They've scored 14 in their last five games.
And this is the biggest game for Spurs this season, not only because it's against Arsenal, but because also if they win it, not only have they shown they can beat Arsenal at Arsenal, they automatically launch themselves into that, like, top four discussion without question.
Right there. Spurs are 5 points off the top. It isn't ridiculous that they've been plodding this season so far.
They've been
far.
Doing an Italy at a tournament.
If you like, Jim.
And, I like that.
I think that's pretty good. And not the last tournament, of course. But I think Spurs, they're looking... Pochettino is obviously a good manager. We know that. He set up Spurs pretty well. They're very hard to beat now, as you said, only on the opening day. Did they lose? And it was an own goal, and it was away at Manchester United, although Manchester United haven't been free scoring themselves, but still
never easy.
Still. They've got decent young players there in Ali and in Dier at that midfield. They've got a pretty established team now. Harry Kane's just started to score goals.
Yeah. Lots of goals, too.
Absolutely. They'll look at Chelsea and think they're way off the pace, as everybody else is. They'll think Manchester United are not too inspiring, even though they are picking up points. Manchester City, they beat 4-1. Yeah. And they're looking at Arsenal. Spurs.
Thinking, come on.
To dare is to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicken on a basketball.
You're saying top four. I'm saying top two.
That door is open. It's up to them whether they walk through it or not.
But this season, don't they?
Because of Chelsea, this season, it is wide open, Jim. Yeah. And like I say, okay, you can say that they only scored 5 in the first 6 Premier League games. They've scored 14.
Doesn't matter.
They've scored 14 in their last 5 matches. Oh, well, it was only against Bournemouth. And before them came against Manchester City, as we say. They are playing well, and they are hard to beat.
Yeah. 2012 was the vintage year in recent times for North London derbies. There was those 2-5-2 games in a row.
Yeah.
Both won by Arsenal, of course, lest we forget. You'll be open for a repeat of that, Jim Campbell, for sure. But I don't think you'll get it.
But they have played once this season already, and it was the Matthew Flamini derby.
Yeah, indeed, the Capital One Cup. But again, like, you know, the squads or the first teams on those days will be very different from what we see at the Emirates. I think... Mesut Ozil is in incredible form. He has 9 assists, which is the most in the top 5 leagues in
Europe.
He's
an assist monster.
Yeah, he absolutely is. And Giroud's in good form as well. But actually, as a pairing, they're in very, very good form. So I think a lot will depend on what happens there. And I think there'll be an interesting battle between Olivier Giroud and Toby Alderweireld, who's been fantastic for Spurs. He's been a real sort of settling influence for them.
That's a very modern football battle, because you've got two fine
very handsome men with proper hairstyles.
If you think back in the day, it would have been, I don't know... Steve Bruce against...
It's not a battle, that's a duel.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is a duel.
There will be a glove involved. The moment it kicks off, Giroud will take the glove out of his shorts and just slap Alderweireld with it.
And then from then on, it'll be the first match-up in a football game where the two players involved don't get any closer than 12 paces away from each other.
Think back, it's not Pallister versus Shearer, is it?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not that. No, Alderweireld will make a sliding tackle on Giroud, and Giroud will be like, "Are you a gentleman or not, sir?"
Yeah.
Now, obviously, as an Arsenal supporter, I can't properly look forward to this, but this does look like a game to me where, because of the form both teams are in, it may be that one has to outscore the other for it to be a win. As neutrals, do you look forward to this game as much as I am? It looks like you do.
I am fascinated by this game, and I think this is such a crucial one, because Arsenal, on the back of that Bayern win, if they can beat Spurs, then they're golden again.
Yeah.
You're right up there, and this will only feed into that encouraging rhetoric if you're an Arsenal fan about winning or challenging for the Premier League.
Maybe the Bayern game was a trap.
Possibly, but if you're a Spurs fan, you're thinking, if we win this game, they'll then move towards 2 points within Arsenal. Obviously, it depends on other results their way, and they are right up there.
I think every neutral looks forward to a derby game, for sure.
Of course,
But I've got a friend who's one of my best friends, is a big Arsenal fan, and he his routine for the North London derby is no comms until the game takes place.
Yeah.
If Arsenal win, he's back to normal again. If they lose, straight to bed.
My only thing about
just go straight to bed.
My only thing about that paragraph is, does he know you call him a best friend?
Oh, apparently it's a derby game every day. He never returns my calls, I'm telling you. But yeah, it's an interesting game. I think it'll be probably the highlight of the weekend, and that's why we started with it.
Well, but there could be an amazing highlight of the weekend action if Chelsea lose away to Stoke.
Yeah.
Because there is big talk that could be Mourinho gone.
Yeah, I wonder where this talk is coming from, though, because
the press keeps
coming, though, doesn't it? We had that with Liverpool, we had that a little while before that, and it's an interesting one for Chelsea, isn't it? Because going out of the cup against Stoke at the Britannia, this maybe it gives them a little bit of a shot at redemption. If they win this, you know, it exercises one of those recent demons.
Do you think that the trick here for Chelsea is there's strong talk that some of the players are not playing for the manager? He's not going to be at the stadium. It'll be interesting what effect that has. So for the rest of the season, is Mourinho the right man for the job? Well, in a way he is, but he just doesn't turn
just
up the stadium.
Don't let him there. Yeah. Now, what I would do in this game, if I were Jose Mourinho, watching it from wherever, possibly a pub in Stoke, I don't know, I literally
I don't
know
that's
how they deal with that.
Yeah.
Like, I would start Loic Remy ahead of Diego Costa because Remy scored 3 goals in 3 against Stoke in recent meetings, and Diego Costa, to me, he kicked out against Skrtel.
He was very
lucky against Arsenal as well to not get sent off. There's a red card in there somewhere. And Stoke, you know, they're not the team they were under Tony Pulis, but they've got some tough, tough players. And, you know, they will stand up to absolutely anything. There are going to be tussles and tangles there, and Costa loses his head in that situation.
True.
I'd go with Remy.
I think you might have a point there with Remy. And it also... I
completely agree, by the way. I would drop Costa.
Would you play one or two of the youngsters like Loftus-Cheek, or is this not the time to do it?
I wouldn't say against Stoke away.
Do you know what, you guys? The problem with this stuff, when we talk about Chelsea this season, we talk about this type of stuff like personnel and player selection and things like that. There's clearly so much politics going on around that club.
Yeah.
I think there is a reason Mourinho is picking players and not picking other players, and it's nothing to do with performances. Mm. So it's very difficult to know what he's going to do. All things being considered, all things being equal, I think you're right, Jim. I think you drop Costa, you play Remy. But Mourinho's been reticent to play Remy, even though Costa's not really been delivering the goods. And for my money, the best player they've had this season, certainly outfield, has been Willian. I mean, he's been by far their best player. Their season is so disastrous at the moment. If Willian keeps up the form he's playing at,
Move to a bigger club.
I think he'll be ordained as a saint in West London. He's the only bright spot for them at the moment.
I mean, is there a better free kick taker in the Premier League at the moment?
I wouldn't say so.
His goal in the Champions League was fantastic.
Ericsson, perhaps.
Maybe, yeah.
Also, the other thing that happens with this sort of stuff, because obviously we're talking about this and the show is sponsored by Bet365, we want to look at the odds of how teams are getting on, and Chelsea are 21-20 for this game. For me, away at Stoke for Chelsea, a game they've in a season where they've not really convinced, bar one or two games, you can't be betting them at that price. You've got to be looking at Stoke for this game.
Only Sunderland have allowed more shots against them than Chelsea.
What a crazy statistic.
Yeah, the reason why I mentioned Loftus-Cheek and maybe one or two of the other youngsters is, you would suspect that some of those young players. Maybe the politics is kind of going over their heads. They're not really concentrating on that. They're still concentrating on trying to get into the team and all. And actually, if Mourinho put one or two of the youngsters in, they would just want to play out of their skins because they've got a career there. And you often hear that. You often hear when a manager leaves a club and people maybe have a pop at him or whatever. And you often hear this with international managers as well. The players who were given a chance under that manager always say, well, actually, I've got a bit of time for that manager. I'll always thank him because he gave me a chance. And therefore, I'm surprised Mourinho hasn't maybe done that a little bit more.
But the thing is with Chelsea, and you've really got... You can't talk about Chelsea at the moment going into this weekend without mentioning the fact that, one, the fans are clearly very behind Mourinho. Have you heard the fans against Dynamo Kiev? They were supportive of him. If you look at the way the players, specifically John Terry, and lest we forget, there's been rumours abound all season after he was dropped that there's been a bit of a sort of rift between them. Yep. Terry was absolutely unequivocal in support for Mourinho, and all of a sudden, players from all over the place are coming out saying, Mourinho will turn this around. There's no one better to do this.
Terry did save a bit of his scorn for Robbie Savage, though.
We can all get beyond
that. That was beautiful.
I've got a hope and fear here.
Go on.
Oh, it's just one hope, actually, for Peterson Hands. I cannot let a man called Peterson Hands not have a part of this show.
Do you think it sounds like a company that makes hands?
It could be.
Is he a goalkeeper?
Well, Peterson, if you're Mr. Hands, if you're listening, which I hope you are, because you've messaged us, let us know what your trade is.
Yep.
He says, my hope is that Charlie Adam and Phil Bardsley don't try to break the ankles of Willian.
Reasonable. Yeah. Clearly,
reasonable anyway.
I guess the fear is that they will.
I think you don't need to be a Chelsea fan to hope that.
Absolutely.
But what about Stoke themselves? They've only got 13 points from 11 games. And there was a lot of talk about Stoke before the season with the signings, rightly so.
This is the thing with Stoke, isn't it? They're not having a particularly, you know, amazing start, but they've built this reputation that precedes them a bit, so people still go to the Britannia with a bit of the fear factor, which is to their credit, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing with them. We know they've got the players. We know they've got the personnel to actually inflict a defeat on anyone. Yeah, it might be a bit of a surprise, but they are capable of springing that surprise because they're just so committed.
The biggest disappointment for Stoke has to be that the way that Mark Hughes has set about signing all these exciting players and using the money that the Premier League offers to get players such as Shaqiri, Afellay, Bojan, all that sort of stuff. Lowest scores in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Lowest scores in the Premier League. And there's no real excuse for that. It's not as they haven't had any winnable games. I mean, their last two results, 0-0 draw against Newcastle and a defeat 2-0 to Watford. I mean, there's no excuse to not be scoring goals when you've got that talent. Now, I know they've had players like Bojan who's been injured and it takes a while to settle players in and things like that, but I mean their fans have got every right to be disappointed, but this could be a sort of game similar actually in a way to Spurs,
a confidence booster.
It could be listen, Chelsea are still Chelsea.
Yep.
If you
yeah.
play for Stoke and you beat Chelsea,
course.
That is a massive boon
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally agree. And I think with Mark Hughes at the moment, he has signed a few of these players. Yes, Bojan was there last year and they had a few exciting players as well last year. Hughes is clearly trying to play a slightly different way. We know how Mark Hughes often likes to set his teams up in the Premier League, and he's been pretty successful. What he did with Blackburn, I think it was, and then obviously Fulham. Not so much with QPR. Less said about that, the better. Mm. And of course, Neil Warnock's gone back there, so the band have
it's
got him back together.
Life.
I don't know.
Yeah, very, very strange. That.
But back to Hughes, you know. So at the moment, they're trying to get this new team playing together, and it's taking a little while longer. I think that, you know, we often see clubs doing very well in the first half of the season or the first third or quarter. Maybe Leicester might drop off. Hopefully not. We're very much enjoying them. Could Stoke maybe grow into the season in the second half of the season? I think
I'd go a bit further than that. I think really after this game at the weekend, their season needs to start. I mean, they play Southampton after that, and they play Sunderland, and then they're at home to Man City. Before going to West Ham, who clearly haven't got a great home record. So their season does really need to start fairly soon, and they need to start scoring goals.
Yeah, I think the reason that Tony Pulis left Stoke was because things had become stale, and there is a danger of that happening under Hughes as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I understand what you mean. It's funny because they have so many players coming in, and they sign so many different players in different positions, but at the same time, they still feel a bit stale.
They don't seem to have moved forward, do they?
No, well, they did last season. They were fantastic, and they had their best ever points tally or finish under.
But this season, I mean, just specifically over the last few months.
Which is, I think, where the disappointment really lies, having had such a great year last year.
I mean, the good news is Chelsea have conceded 22 goals this season already, so if you want to get far in against anyone, literally anyone, it's apart from Bournemouth and Sunderland, it's going to be Chelsea.
Yeah,
which is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. My goodness.
Chelsea fans, shut up. You've had your fun.
Yeah. West Ham versus Everton is a tasty one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This could be great.
It is. We're going to talk about West Ham versus Everton after this.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Premier League preview show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sponsored by Bet365. We're going to talk more about West Ham and Everton.
You promised it.
I said we would.
No, we're delivering.
So that game's happening. Leicester, no, of course not. I think that's a real tasty one.
Yeah.
One of the things I realised when looking ahead to this game is Everton's record at the Bowling Ground, a.k.a. Upton Park, home of West Ham, is fantastic.
Yes.
They haven't lost at West Ham. They haven't lost to West Ham since 2007, and they've won their last three Premier League games at Upton Park.
Yeah.
And Lukaku's goal-scoring record, I forget what it is off the top of my head, but it's brilliant. He scores against them all the time.
Yeah, but, I mean, West Ham's form has been so unpredictable this season that could end this time. And this is a game made up almost exclusively of, like, informed, confident front men.
Yeah.
Just everywhere on the pitch, you look, there are players where you think he's got goals in him. And they need to get out.
Yeah, well, it will
let them free.
West Ham are 5 points off the top. They're having a remarkable run so far. And will Bilic try and play like he did against Chelsea? Or will he try and take the game to Everton? Because at home, West Ham have been a little bit out of sorts and they've been very successful when they've tried to play on the back foot.
I have a sneaking suspicion that he will because
Martinez,
I think he will do that. I think he'll be a bit more conservative because Roberto Martinez, he likes to attack, doesn't he? He's not that flexible in his tactical style. He's got his style. He likes to stick to it. It really, really clicked in the 6-2 at the weekend. And I think Bilic will look at that and think, look, they've got some incredible players there. Kone's in real good form. Lukaku, obviously, speaks
Dele
for himself. De La Feu. And then you've got Naismith and players like that coming off the bench.
Barkley.
Ross Barkley, yeah. So I think he'll look at that and go, yeah, let's try and contain these guys and hit them with what we've got.
I do think Everton can be got at. I mean, the game against Sunderland, of course, it ended 6-2, but
conceded two.
Big Sam
indeed
rightly said after the game, you know, look, we had our chances here. They hit the post twice,
that's right,
I think. So clearly, West Ham's success has come away from home because they like to play in that style of the away team. The reason they were able to get success against Chelsea is because the crowd weren't putting them under pressure to play like the home team because it was Chelsea. Can they do that against Everton? Not sure. I like Everton for this game in a big way, purely because Everton's record is so good. As Jim's just touched on, their firepower is great going forward. And West Ham at home, Newcastle, they beat Newcastle at home, didn't they? Apart from that, they've been fairly underwhelming at
home. They lost against Bournemouth.
Yeah, and the Chelsea result aside, of course. And Everton, 9-5 for Bet365 to win this. £10 on that gets you £28, so it's an £18 profit. I think that's a good bet, you know. I just think Everton's record stands for itself. Again, and it's not to repeat the Spurs point, but if Everton win this game, right up there in that top six discussion early on, and they've had I think if they win at the weekend, they can consider themselves to have had a pretty decent start, especially given what happened to them last season.
True, but if they do take the approach that they have done, and as Jim said, that they might play on the back foot and hit Everton on the break, soak up that pressure, I think they might have a bit of joy as well. It will be. I think the result here hinges on how Bilic approaches the game. So it'll be quite a fascinating one to see. Leicester versus Watford it involves Leicester. Therefore, it's worth having a chat
it
about.
It must be really disconcerting for away teams in particular, knowing that even if you score, Leicester are so good at coming from behind.
Not against Arsenal though, Jimmy.
No. I think they've taken 10 points from losing positions so far this season, which is the highest in the Premier League. Mike Ferry on Twitter has got in touch saying, I hope Jamie Vardy can continue to chase Ruud van Nistelrooy's record, and I have absolutely no fear at all of a 0-0 draw.
Watford have had the fewest goals involved in their games, haven't they? They've kept it tight a lot.
Have they played the mighty Leicester yet?
They haven't. Two clean sheets, though, on the bounce before this one.
They're very defensively shrewd, Watford, so I think they might try to sort of nullify Leicester and just nick it with Ighalo's brute force.
We've got two of the best forwards currently on form in the league in Ighalo and Vardy.
Three if you count Mahrez.
Well, okay, true, yeah. A forward thinking player, certainly. I mean, Ighalo, we talked about him before, he's just marvellous, absolutely marvellous. And Deeney as well, a proper front two there. I'm intrigued to see how Watford approach this one. Do they actually have a go, or do they? Because Leicester, as you said, Luke, you know they've come back from winning positions. Is it worth having a go
and then shutting up?
Yeah,
maybe. Maybe. I mean, Ighalo and Deeney are you know, they're a real handful, so it's not going to be easy. Easy sailing for Leicester, as it never is, and they seem weirdly comfortable with.
They don't panic, that's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that what's happening now is almost like the cult of Jamie Vardy. I mean, his pace terrifies defenders. We talked on Monday a bit about how his relentless work rate, his relentless chasing and running, it puts defenders not only under sort of physical pressure with his pace, but just mental stress.
Yeah.
And of course, Watford have kept it fairly tight. And they have played some decent teams this season, Watford, and they've done okay. But overall, of course, but I think Vardy is clearly the form striker in the Premier League at the moment. It's going to be tough for them. I wouldn't be confident saying that Watford are going to keep Leicester out at
the
weekend.
I think what's been so great about Vardy this season thus far is we've seen him play very well straight from the start, and teams now know about Vardy. They've known about Vardy for a good few weeks, obviously. He's still doing it. It'll be. I really hope that he manages to keep it up for the whole of the season, and maybe even into the Euros, dare I suggest. Because often when you get a striker like that, teams figure him out and they go, right, we'll put men on Vardy and we'll mark him up. And so, because even in that game against Arsenal when they hammered them 5-2, Vardy still got the two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think what happens is we saw it happening with, I mean, of course, Kane's starting to fire now, and you know, and good for him. He's a good young player. We want to see him do well. But there is an element that players do start to get worked out. But the thing with Vardy is it's almost like he's saying, I don't care. I'm just going to run myself into the
ground. Because of those reasons.
Yeah.
If you run at defenders, they don't like it. If you have a good work rate,
isn't it? We've all played in defence against players who are quicker than us and are direct. And
when you're playing...
you're very much a selfish forward.
Can I just say, I have. I definitely have.
It's a nightmare because not only are they quicker than you, but you know they do things quickly, which means you have to make decisions quickly, which puts you in a sort of panicky state. And I think that's why, you know, even though players know what he's going to do, he's still able to do it too.
Yeah, Leicester 3 points off the top.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
It really is. 11 games in.
If you look at what they've done, if you look at what they've done so far, it's great. And then you bear in mind that they've, after this Watford game, which you'd have to say, no disrespect to Watford,
Leicester favourites.
Watford fans get in touch all the time saying we don't talk about them enough. So I'm going to talk about them now. Leicester, this is a very, very winnable game for Leicester. Okay, they play Newcastle next. Then they're at home to Manchester United, who can't score, and then they play Swansea. So that is four winnable games in a row. You have to say it's winnable game. against Man United. I don't care about the reputation. Man United aren't scoring at the moment. Leicester are doing very, very well. So actually, you're looking at a situation where by sort of Christmas time, Leicester could still be
wrap up the league title.
And if Man United fans want to get in touch and say that that game isn't winnable for Leicester, eminently winnable. One, it's at Leicester. Two, Leicester are above Man United in the league, so deal with it.
Yeah, but you're putting your money on
our better than
week
market.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be listen. We had a couple of losers. Yeah. Don't be admonishing responsibility. Yeah. It's a joint effort here.
I'm confident of this, so it's our bet this week.
I'm very much the messenger, and I will not be shocked. Thank you very much. the bet of the week this week, the bet 365 bet of the week is going to be, listen, I think we should tap into this Jamie Vardy narrative. I mean, he's got 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see him get 9, wouldn't we? So we're going to back him at even.
We'd love to see him get 11.
We would. You can't really do that in a row.
No, but what I mean, overall. So he's the, you know, the king of it.
He's going to be bet of the week every week. Every week. No, this week he's at evens to score at any time during the game. So £50 on behalf of Prostate Cancer UK. All the winnings, of course, go to them. £50 returns £100. That's a £50 profit. So that's where our bet of the week will be going this week. Remember, you need to be over the age of 18 to bet, and odds are subject to change. Gamble responsibly, and for more information on responsible gambling, please go to gambleaware.co.uk.
There we are, chaps. I think that's it for the
we're all pulling for Vardy now, aren't we?
Yeah, we certainly, apart from Watford fans, of course. But I'm sure you know, you like charity as well, so you'll take maybe a 2-1 win with Vardy scoring the one goal.
Come on, Vardy.
Excellent. Of course, if you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter @FootballRamble. The website where the always excellent Kelly Wells operates is thefootballramble.com, Instagram, Facebook, and so on. That's it. Thank you very much, Luke.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Jim.
See you later.
You don't normally thank me. I was a bit confused.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you, Marcus.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.